Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Psych You Out, everybody's favorite podcast all about the TV show Psych. I'm Jane.
I'm Olivia, and I'm annoyed because you didn't say
everyone's comedy crime show.
Yes. I was waiting. I was like, hopefully she gets it right.
Everybody's favorite comedy crime show, Psych. We're on season 2, episode 9, and it's called Bounty Hunters! Exclamation point.
Okay. I don't know what you were expecting out of me.
Excitement. I'm going to lead you through this episode today. So enjoy, everybody.
Hooray!
Hooray. Now, I'll admit, we watched this episode a couple days ago.
It's been a while.
So the fun minutiae of the episode has left my brain. But I will do my best to walk us through it.
If you want, I can help.
I would appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So it's 1987.
As always.
As always. It really is as always. And Sean and Gus are sitting outside the police station eating some ice cream cones. I guess waiting on Henry. And a car drives up. And out comes this guy in a leather vest. And he's got
long, you know, flowing hair.
Long, flowing hair. And he's super cool. And he pulls a criminal out from the car and is taking him into the police station. And Sean is enthralled.
So is Gus.
Not as much as Sean.
Yeah, not as much as Sean. But they both are watching.
They're fascinated by the guy with the perp. Henry comes out of the police station and they say, "Who is that? Who is that guy?" And Henry says,
"Don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it. He's a bounty hunter. He's not legitimate at all. Catching thieves for money is not honorable. Being a cop is honorable."
Yeah, and I believe he said something to Sean like, "When you grow older, if you want to, you should have a badge."
Right. But in the meantime, Sean is envisioning himself
as
the bounty hunter. And so it was funny to see the
little
kid
tiny
actor
child
hauling in an adult perp into the police station. It was very cute.
With the vest.
Yeah, and the sunglasses. So it's present day and the police station is in a tizzy because a guy that they had arrested for home invasion and murder that was in Juliet's custody had managed to escape.
Yeah. And I believe for like when they were explaining that, Lassiter was very much trying to avoid even talking about what happened.
Right.
And then Juliet stood up and was like, "Hey, it's my fault." And she like took the blame for it.
Yeah. And she had a little Band-Aid on her forehead. And she said, "Look, the guy headbutted me."
Yeah.
"As I was taking him to his arraignment and he got away." I mean, that's just all there is to it. So she was not going to let it be swept under the carpet. So there's a manhunt going on, and the deceased woman's husband has hired that same bounty hunter
from those years ago.
From all those years ago to help find this escaped perp.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, Juliet is also determined to find the perp. But
Lassiter is like, maybe you should stay here and, you know, stuff from this angle rather than being out in the field.
Right. Well, she has called Sean and Gus for their help. And Lassiter says that they're allowed to look for him. But if the guy's name is Tancana. If they find Tancana,
they are to call
and say, "We found him." They are not to engage with him or attempt to actually bring him in.
Yes.
And so
they also go and talk. Sean and Gus go and talk to the bounty hunter and the husband, because I forget how it's revealed to them, but the husband is putting out money for whoever captures him.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So before they decide to do anything, they go and talk to him, like you said. And they say, "Hey, we're not officially bounty hunters, but if we bring him in,
will you
can
pay
we
us?
get that $50,000 that you're offering for the capture?" And I don't remember whether they ever get an answer from the husband, but Bird,
I think
the bounty hunter,
yes.
Does he? Well, Bird basically says, "Stay out of the way. This is my last case. This is my last score.
Before I retire.
Don't take my money away from me. let me catch this guy.
So,
well, Gus and Sean are like, well, now it's on. Yeah. It's competition. We're going to try and get him.
Also, I just want to say two things. One that's throughout the episode and the other that's just in the scene. Bird is drinking out of Lassiter's mug.
Yes.
Lassiter was very upset about that. And he was also like, I do not want bounty hunters in this building. Because the chief is away for some reason. I know that Lassiter said why. I just don't remember what he said. But so Lassiter is like officially in charge of the building, basically.
And he feels about bounty hunters the same way that Henry does.
Yes. And then throughout the episode, anytime somebody says that they're going to retire, I think it's pretty much just Bird. I think maybe Gus says it once.
Sean says
Sean
it.
Will like duck and cover every single time that somebody has ever said,
they're gonna retire.
I'm going to retire. They end up getting shot.
Right.
He does not want to be the one to get shot.
Yeah, that was a very funny thread throughout the episode. Because, yeah, you're right. Gus says at some point about, I just want to retire.
Yeah.
And Sean ducks while they were in the little boat later on in the episode.
Also, when they went outside of the police station at one point.
That was the first time. And I even said, because I didn't hear the conversation. And so I even said to you, why is he doing that? And she said, because he said he was going to retire. And I'm like, oh, I totally wasn't paying
Bird
attention when Bird said
inside,
it.
Inside, and then Gus said it outside. Yeah. And then in the boat.
So the manhunt is on and everybody's out trying to, you know, find all the places where he might go to leave the town. And Sean is thinking, no, he's going to lay low. He's not going to try and get out of town because he knows that's where everybody's looking for him.
Yeah.
So they go into where Juliet is watching footage of when he headbutted her and escaped. And Sean notices he's wearing a medical wristband.
Like hospital wristband.
Yeah. And he says, hey, is he...
Has he got like a condition or something?
Yeah. And Juliet says, yeah, he has a heart condition. And in the course of their conversation mentions that Tancana has a cousin who works at a diner as like a short order cook. So Sean and Gus decide they're going to go to that cafe or that diner.
To just to question. Because I believe that she said that they had asked. Juliet had already.
Yeah, they had already asked him some questions to see if he knew where his cousin was. So even though they know that Juliet's already talked to the guy, they go over to the diner. And it looked like an awesome greasy spoon, old school kind of diner.
Basically what Waffle House wants to be.
Yes. There was a diner that back in the 1990s when I lived in Virginia, it was a 24-hour true old school diner. And we'd go to the clubs. And then when we were done dancing in the clubs.
I feel like you've told me this before.
We'd go to, well, in college, I would go to a Waffle House after going to that club in college. But then in the 90s, after I was out of college, we still went to this all-night diner.
Just clubbing and diners. That's what
they
your
go
life
to
was?
Hand in hand. Absolutely hand in hand. So anyway, so I was very like, oh, look at that diner when they walked in. Because it was like the perfect late-night food spot is what it looked like. So they go in and they're talking to the cousin. Sean is noticing what he's cooking and he sees he's making like a burger and he's making, you know, like a sub sandwich and all this stuff. But then he starts making
eggs,
but it's just egg whites.
Yeah.
And Sean says to Gus,
he's explaining like the different people around the diner.
Yeah. He's like, think about where we are. We have somebody that's ordered a burger, somebody else that's ordered something that's not healthy.
Yeah.
And yet he's making egg whites in this,
which
kind
isn't
of stab-
even like on the menu,
right? And he's like, Tancana's here, he's got to be here because he's got the heart condition, so he can't eat
all
unhealthy
stuff.
Foods.
Yeah.
So just as they are gonna go and
because they
if he's
see
in the
that
back
somebody
room,
has like walked past room. A door,
yeah, in the back room. So just as they're about to go look and see if he's in there, Bird shows up. He pulls up in his hot rod car, runs into the diner, throws himself into the back room.
No,
his cousin.
He throws him at the guy.
The cousin says, run! Bounty hunter's here.
He went through like a really small
he
looking
did go
window.
Through a really small... Just got some in my throat. Yeah, he did go through a really small window. But he was starting to escape. But, well, he does escape. And Sean and Gus go get in the blueberry to drive away. And as they're driving away. Yeah,
because they think they can catch up to him.
Right. Who should pop up in the back seat? Tin Canna. As Sean and Gus are driving down the road with Tin Canna in the back, they're like, this is it. We've 50 got grand. Him. We're going to take him straight to the police station. And Tin Canna says, hey, can we make a stop first before you drop me off? Yeah. Because I was in cahoots with this other guy and I just want to check in with him. Because
he says he's got this like real good job.
Yeah. Well, he also says, I didn't kill that lady.
Yeah.
He said, I am a thief, but I am not a murderer. And what was funny during that scene was that, so originally when he got in the car, his hands were behind him in the handcuffs and you could see him in the back seat, slowly working his arms
out. And at some point he's out of the handcuffs. Like he has.
Oh yeah. He gets himself full out. But when he starts in the car, they're in the back. I think by the time he got them up to the front, I think, cause Gus and Sean wouldn't have had a key. So, he broke his thumbs.
Yeah. Okay. Quick thing. So, about the breaking of thumbs. I believe it was Bones when... it was Bones. So, people get handcuffed in that show all the time. And somebody, I think it was Bones. Either way, one of them was like, the way to get yourself out of handcuffs is to break your thumbs. And then you can get yourself out of them.
Right.
So... any time that somebody would be handcuffed in that show, I'd be like, break your thumbs, break your thumbs.
Well, and it came up when we watched Chuck as well.
Yep.
During Chuck, we'd say, break your thumbs and you can get out.
So,
that's our joke whenever we see somebody trying to get out of handcuffs.
Yep.
We're like, you don't need a key. Just break your thumbs.
Also, this could just be like, because this is a very long past memory, and I feel like it was on a YouTube video, but somebody... like they were doing an experiment of people in handcuffs trying to get out with like the little bobby pins.
Right.
And somebody just broke their thumbs to get out.
So he says, look, my partner in that robbery was Del Becchio. We didn't make much off of that robbery, but Del Becchio, like you said, keeps talking about a big score. Like there's something bigger out there that he's working on. Mm-hmm. And so he's probably involved somehow
with
the murder because it wasn't me. And so Sean and Gus refuse and they say, no, we're going to take you back to the station.
Also, wasn't Sean on the phone with Juliet? I know at some point he got on the phone.
I don't remember if they... he was on the phone at some point in that car ride.
Yeah, because...
I don't remember what they talked about, though.
Yeah, because he called saying, hey, we got him. We're bringing him in. Because originally Lassiter was on the phone saying, what are you doing?
Right.
And then Sean was like, can you let me talk to Juliet? So he got on the phone with her. He, kind of flirts with her, but is still, explaining the situation.
Yes. And he calls when they pull up to the police station to say, we're out front. We have him.
Yeah.
And by the time she gets out there, Sean and Gus are handcuffed to the car. Because Tin Canna escaped.
Once again.
And that was how he escaped, was by handcuffing the two of them to the blueberry. So he's gone again. But Sean remembers the directions that Tin Canna had given him to get to Del Becchio's.
Which is where the boat comes into play.
Right. And when he thinks about the directions, he realizes, it's to a houseboat out on the water. Mm-hmm. It's not... an actual house.
It didn't look like a houseboat. It looked like a fishing boat.
Yeah, it looked like the boat in Jaws. The boat that... Yes.
I had to think about it.
But that's what it looked like. You're right. Once they got on, it looked more like houseboaty. It was more...
No, it still looked like a regular boat. It looked like it had a bunch of fishing supplies and,
Yeah. Well, Sean and Gus grab Henry's little skiff boat and they are out on the water. That's when the retirement joke comes up again. And when they arrive, they get up on the boat and sure enough, Tin Canna is there looking for some sort of way he can prove that he's innocent. And so Sean looks around and he sees ripped up pieces of paper and it turns out they're money bundles. Bands. Yeah, they're money bands that have all been ripped up. He also sees a necklace with a charm on it that matched the one that the woman was wearing when she died. The woman's name was Isabella.
Because they had found
Seen crime scene photos.
Yeah, because they went to check on Juliet at the diner.
Yes. See, I told you, by us not recording right away, I would forget things. Yes, they sat with Juliet at the diner, and she had her files there.
She was very sad.
She was very sad, wondering, how could I mess this up so bad?
Yeah, because she's so used to her brain being like, you're making the right choices, you're doing everything right. Great. And then she was explaining that herself. In that moment, it was nothing.
Yeah, and so she left the files with them, and that's when they saw the picture.
Which is not very good police work. You should always take your files.
Well, but they're consultants for the police office, so.
You still shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, if she did, she should have, like, you know, told somebody else, hey, the files are with Sean and Gus.
So the fact that Sean saw this necklace on the boat proves to him that, yes, Del Becchio was definitely up close to the body because
it's the
necklace she was clearly wearing at the time of her death. Gus finds a cell phone. It's an older cell phone that's not working, like the battery's dead.
I was going to say it was a flip phone, all probably had flip
phones. Yeah, back then, that's the phone du jour. So he finds a cell phone, but he decides he's going to take it with him so he can try and get it to work and see what's going on. Well, as they're standing there on the boat talking to Tankana about everything, a gunshot rings out, multiple gunshots, and Bird is back. Bird has found the houseboat. Once again. Yeah, he's always one step behind Sean and Gus. He finds the boat. Everybody jumps in the water to escape. Tankana ends up getting... So when they jump in the water, Sean turns to Gus. No, Gus turns to Sean and says, you didn't tie up the boat? And Sean said, you were the last one in the boat.
I gave you the rope.
And that's right. Gus says, but I handed you the rope. And Sean's like, last guy in the boat ties it up. So, in the meantime, Tankana has swum to the boat, to Henry's boat, and takes off, leaves Sean and Gus in the water. But along comes Bird in his boat and goes ahead and picks them up to take them back to shore. So, additionally, you know, we talked about them talking to Juliet and looking at the photos. One of the other photos that was in that packet that Juliet had was a close-up of a tattoo that looked like it had the woman's name Barb. But the more Sean looked at it, the more he realized that last B is not a B.
It's a 13.
It's a 13.
Which and means he, for whatever reason, knows that there is a bar 13.
Well, he probably just Googled it.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And it's not just any bar. It is a biker bar. And so Sean and Gus walk in looking like the just typical Sean and Gus. They walk in. Neither one of them look like they should be there.
They don't look like bikers.
No, not in the least. So they go up to the bartender and they said, hey, we're looking for Tankana. The bartender says, I don't know anyone named Tankana. And Sean says, yes, you do.
Yeah, basically trying to pick a fight and show that he's, like, tough and, you know, should belong there.
Right.
When he clearly doesn't.
Right. Well, the bartender says, y'all need to get out of here or something's going to happen. Something happens. Cut to, Sean and Gus are hanging upside down by their feet and they're about to get a beat down. But who comes to their rescue? Tankana. He shows up and says, no, I know these guys. And he has them become undone because Tankana realizes, look, these guys aren't going to take me in anymore.
Yeah, and he also says that, you know, specifically like for Sean, like your psychic abilities led you here. You must be trustworthy.
Right, right. And you're not just trying to take me into the police station. You've seen Del Becchio's boat. You've seen what's on there. You know that he's involved. You're genuinely trying to solve the crime.
Yeah.
So he's like, so I'm going to stick with you guys. When they're leaving the bar, Sean says, I'll leave, but I want that vest. And he points to a biker.
Yeah.
And he walks out of that bar with that vest. How that negotiation went down, I wish I knew.
Yeah.
But he ended up wearing this leather biker vest for the rest of the episode.
Didn't it have an eagle on the back?
It did have an eagle on the back.
That's the only part that I can remember, just the eagle on the back. Yeah. And then it was too small.
It was short. Yeah,
too small.
Yeah. Well, the guy he got it from was like this tall, skinny dude. And James Roday was as tall and skinny.
Yeah, so shouldn't it be, you know, maybe a little bit bigger?
Well, it's not like he was buttoning it up.
Still. Neither was the biker.
He felt very cool in his new vest.
Great.
So they take refuge at Henry's house because they're like, there's no way Bert is going to know that Tankana is at
my Yeah, because they house. Originally want to go to the psych office and he's sitting
standing
outside.
Their That's yeah. right. So they head over to Henry's. And so while they're there at Henry's, Gus plugs in the phone to see if he can charge.
To a very old computer.
Yes. And is also like drying it out because obviously it went in the water when they jumped in off the boat. And he's trying to get the phone working so that they can see like what the last calls were, if there were text messages. Yeah. And so he's working on that. And Sean is like, when are we going to get this done? Because we need to...
We need to go because my dad's about to figure out that we have a criminal in his house.
Yeah, so just then Henry comes in and he's like, oh, we have a guest for dinner. And Sean says, oh yeah, this is my old camp counselor from Camp Tiki Hama. And Henry's like, oh, really? And Sean says, yeah.
And I'm sure Henry knows that he has never been to Camp Tiki Hama right away.
Yeah, I had that thought. I wondered if the mom sent him to camp and would Henry even know? Well, because...
No, because Sean always lived with his dad.
Did he?
Yes.
He never lived with his mom? Oh, yeah. No. I guess that's true. That's why we have all the flashbacks.
With his dad.
Duh, Jane. No, well, Sean wouldn't have outright lied about going to Camp Tiki Hama.
Yes, he would. He's Sean.
No, but he wouldn't lie about something that Henry clearly could have remembered. Like, he may not have remembered the name of it, but he would have remembered that he went to camp.
No.
So is your issue about him going to camp?
No.
Or the name of the camp?
The name, I'm telling you right now that Henry, I bet from the minute that Sean said that he had went to a camp named Tiki Hama, he knew that Sean was lying because Henry has shown that he is smarter than Sean and knows more than he gives off. So him saying that and sort of just goes along with it. And even as they're him and Tankan are talking, he's very clearly like he knows he's lying.
Well, here I need to give you a spoiler.
Great.
Camp Tiki Hama is the location of a future episode. So, Camp Tiki
You can't do that to me, but my point is valid for the time being.
I agree. I mean, I went to camp when I was a kid. I can picture the camp in my head. I can picture the color scheme. I can picture where my cabin was in relation to the beach of the lake. You know, but I could not tell you the name of that camp.
I remember what camp episode you're talking about, by the way.
Okay. Well, that takes place at Camp Tiki Hama. So, anyways... Getting back to the actual episode. So, Sean at some point leaves Henry and Tankana alone in the kitchen to go in with Gus. Henry asks Tankana, you know
any camp songs?
Do you remember any of the camp songs? And so Tankana starts singing some random...
Like made-up song.
Made-up song all about Camp Tiki Hama. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. He also, Henry asked, like... about Sean specifically and how was he at camp, and I found this funny. I don't know if you did, but Tankana was like, yeah, Sean was a real stickler for the rules.
And that's what made Henry realize this is a lie.
Yes.
Like, he could believe that it was a counselor from Camp Tiki Hama because the camp really existed. I can't say Tiki Hama. The camp really existed. But it wasn't until the guy said, oh, yeah, he's a real rule follower. He never caused trouble. And Henry was like, you are not talking about my son.
Yeah.
And that's when he walked into the other room and said, who is in my house right now?
Who is this strange man?
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, Gus has managed to get the phone on. But because of the damage that it suffered from, they could only see like a partial.
Like they could only see every so few like letters and a lot of it was smudged.
Right. Which I don't know if a phone is able to turn on that's
how it would look.
I think it still had
like water behind the screen.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I just don't remember those. Because that was like a super old flip phone. That was not a smartphone.
Yeah.
That was like a 1990s.
Could it be like the phones flip phone. That I have? The flip phones?
Yeah. Yeah. Where you have to type 222 to get the letter C.
Yeah.
And, or actually, yeah. And then 33 to get to E. It was that kind of phone. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a smartphone. But anyway, so they can read a few things. And Sean figures out that it's Meadow parking lot.
Yeah.
Was the last message. So Sean and Gus head out. And I can't remember. Do they leave Tank Canna?
No, they bring him with.
They do bring him with.
They would not just leave him there.
I know. Well, that's why I had to think about it. So the three of them hop in the Blueberry. They drive out of the parking deck. And who is laying on the ground dead? Delvecchio. He has been killed. And Tank Hanna's like, well, you know, there goes that.
There goes my innocence, essentially.
Right. Because he's my only alibi for me not killing that.
Yeah.
Being involved in that death of the woman. Well, who pulls into the parking deck? Bird. And they get into a tussle. And next thing you know, Tank Canna is being in Bird's car. Bird. And they drive off. So Sean and Gus are still there with Delvecchio's body. And they decide to kind of do a little bit of investigation on their own. And they realize that he's got like a weird smell in his hand. Mm-hmm. And Sean says, Gus, I need your super smeller.
Yeah, because Gus refuses to get anywhere near the body and has stayed in the car.
Right, because as we know, Gus doesn't like being around dead bodies.
Yes.
And Sean says, no, you really need to come sniff this. And at some point, he's like trying to...
He puts the window down and is like, I know what that is.
So yeah, Gus does get out of the car and he does... get up close to the hand and it says, yeah, there's something here that I can smell. So they want to get Tank Canna back. And so they come up with a scheme mm-hmm. in order to get to Bird and get Tank Canna back so yep. they can continue doing what they were doing. So they get Bird and Tank Canna to meet them outside the police station. Mm-hmm. And Sean is holding a briefcase in his hand. Mm-hmm. There ensues the conversation of, is it a briefcase?
Is it an attaché?
Or is it an attaché?
Here's my thing.
Uh-huh.
Attaché, never heard of it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've never heard of an attaché case?
No.
Yeah.
Everyone just says briefcase.
Well, attaché case is another word for it.
Just say briefcase.
And didn't they even say satchel at some point? Is it a satchel?
Yeah. Satchel is more like a bag
yeah.
that you can...
shoulder strap.
Yeah, like with a shoulder strap.
So they tell Bird that...
That they have four times the amount of money that was being offered in the suitcase. Because Delvecchio, they lied saying that Tank Canna showed them where money was.
Yes, from Delvecchio's big score.
Yes.
Right. That they had found that money and they were willing to give it to Bird so that he could retire in style, but give Tank Canna to them and they'll just take the 50 grand. So it's a win-win. Because
they don't do it for money.
Right. It's a win-win. If you take this briefcase, we take Tank Canna. You get your money, we get ours. And so Bird agrees to it and... So they give him the briefcase, they get Tank Canna, and just as he's opening up the briefcase, Juliet and Lassiter are coming out of the police station. He opens the briefcase, and it's just pharmaceutical supplies.
No, it's like a bunch of straws.
They're the long Q-tip cotton swabs.
No, they just looked like the straws that are in the like paper things. That's what it looked like. No, because
they were from Gus's stash.
He might go to the drive-thru a lot. No, I don't know.
They weren't straws. As they were getting out of the car, they were talking about the pharmaceutical supplies.
No, I thought they were straws.
And so they looked like the cotton swab, the individually wrapped Q-tips that you can get at doctor's offices.
I'm pretty sure the first time I watched that episode, I also thought they were straws.
No.
Because that's what they looked like.
Okay, they may have looked like that, but that's not what they were. They were definitely pharmaceutical supplies.
I'm going to say they were straws.
Okay.
Also, Julia and Lassiter didn't come out until Bird decided to hold them at gunpoint. Because then they came out.
That's right, because he opened the suitcase, he saw that it was not money, and that's when he pulled a gun on them. And then Juliet and Lassiter come out, and that's when they pull a gun on Bird.
And they explain that he has pulled a gun on civilians, and thus he has to be taken into custody.
Right. So Juliet arrests him as part of it. So...
They get inside the police station.
So at that point, Sean says, look, you've got the wrong man. Tankana is not the one that did the murder. The one that did the murder
was actually the husband.
It was the husband. And Sean goes on to explain that he had been thinking about doing it for a while, and that he decided to use the break-in as the cover.
However, Dalbecchio happened to be on the upper floor and had seen it.
And he witnessed the whole thing.
Yep.
So at that point, Dalbecchio stole the necklace so that he could blackmail Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his big score, was blackmailing the husband for more money.
For hush money.
That's right. And so that's how Dalbecchio died.
Was when the money transfer.
That's right. Cole killed him at that money drop at the parking garage.
But what he didn't know, there were cameras.
And what was great was that Sean caught him and made him slip up, because they even said, "We've got camera footage." And the husband says, "I know there were no cameras at that garage." Oh, ho, ho.
How would you know unless you've been there?
That's right. Exactly. So at that point, the charges against Tankana, I don't think they're dropped, because he was robbing the place.
Yeah.
But the murder charges were dropped for sure. And so he was just going to be arrested for murder or for robbery. The husband, Cole, was
arrested
for robbery. Bird was arrested for pulling a gun on a civilian. So it went from a no arrest day to a 3 arrest day. What?
You said that Cole, the husband, was arrested for robbery.
Oh, sorry. I was getting a Tankana, robbery. Cole, murder. Bird, pulling a weapon.
Civilian.
Yep. So now we're at the end of the episode, and Sean goes in to talk to Juliet.
Because he sees that she's messing with her weapon?
Yeah, because earlier in the episode, she was taking it apart and putting it back together, and she said that it was a stress reliever. That she would do it whenever she was highly stressed.
She
would time to see how fast she could do it. And so she's there fiddling around, and they end up getting
literally right in each other's face, like they are touching.
Yeah, pretty much kissing, but not kissing.
They're talking very close.
Yes.
Close talking, like, as Sean says.
Lips are actually touching. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm just talking.
Just talking real close.
Just close talking.
And at some point he does like, and they
like he's thinking like,
But his lips are like, they pucker and go further out.
Yeah, they're pretty much kissing at that point.
Well,
and
Sean
so is. Sean turns and leaves. And you know his heartbeat is like pounding, and he's thrilled.
Yeah, and I feel like he might have smirked a little bit at the end too.
Probably. So Juliet, who's packing up her desk and everything,
immediately pulls her gun out on the stopwatch, starts doing it,
because clearly that little thing with Sean that just happened freaked her out a little bit. And so she was going to...
Because they're in love.
So she was going to calm herself down by doing her gun exercise. Did you see the pineapple? You did see the pineapple.
Yes, it was in the garage.
That's right. It was kind of the emblem to let you know what level of the parking deck you were in.
Now, my question is, does that mean that it was just that floor that's pineapple, or is each floor a different...
It's got to be a different fruit. So there's got to be like apple, banana, pineapple. You can't have 3 pineapple floors. Otherwise, when you say, I parked on pineapple, you don't know which pineapple.
You remember the number.
No. Well, that's the whole objective. It's easier to remember a pineapple than to remember, did I park on 3?
No, I think it would be easier to do the number.
No, I'm on pineapple. When we go to see plays, I usually try to park on pots. There's a floor in the parking deck of the theater that we go to that has 3D pots that are on the wall, like mounted on the wall.
I've never noticed
that. Oh, really? No, I always try and park on the pots floor because I can remember I'm on the pots floor.
No, I just look for a number, like, which one are we on? So, Gus, fake name?
Yes, Gus had a fake name in this episode. I can't remember the scene that it was used in.
They were talking to Tankana and in the car, and Gus turned to Sean like, for once I'm glad you didn't use my real name.
That's right. And the name he got was Galileo Humpkins.
Weird name.
Very weird name.
So any people other than the usual that you knew?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the guy that played
Bird
is Kevin Sorbo, who is a very popular actor. He was in, and of course, so there were two shows back in the day. There was Xena, the Warrior Princess.
I know that one.
And then Kevin Sorbo had his own show. He was Hercules. And he's done other stuff. He's actually been in some Hallmark movies as well.
Of course. Why am I not surprised? I've got
to bring it back. From an acting standpoint, no, he was the only standout. But it was written by Andy Berman. I take note of him because his episodes I tend to really like.
It was iffy. No. It was good, but not great.
I would put this in my top 10.
I wouldn't.
I it's not my top 5, but it's definitely somewhere between 6 and 10.
Hmm.
It was fast-paced.
Yeah.
Good storytelling. I like the Juliet Sean bit at the end. I like the bit at Henry's house. I thought it was a strong episode.
Bits.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a strong episode. And I didn't know that it would be the husband.
Hmm.
You know, it's one of those episodes where Tin Can is like, I didn't do it. So you were kind of led to believe that it was probably Del Becchio in some way.
I feel like, just for me personally, yeah, the husband wasn't really featured in the episode. But I feel like if it was Del Becchio, the actor would have been featured more. I don't think we ever actually saw him.
No, because when he was dead, we saw the back of his head.
Yeah.
So we didn't even see his face there. So I feel
like we would have actually seen him as a character, maybe had a few lines.
Yeah, you're probably right. And the fact that they referenced a big score.
Yeah.
That it probably was whoever that person was.
Yeah. They probably, speaking of that, they might have maybe shown a flashback or something to them talking. Meaning Tin Can and Del Becchio talking about the score.
Yeah. Have any other trivia questions?
Did they make any references to anything? I feel like they might have made they made a reference to a movie on the boat. Because you even went back to see what it was a reference to.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. As they're getting out of Henry's boat and getting on the big boat, Sean says, it's feeling a little bit like dead calm right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Gus says,
Now
I have to worry about Billy Zane.
Mm-hmm.
So Dead Calm was a movie back in 1990s, I guess. And it starred Sam Neill.
Don't know who that is.
He was the main guy in Jurassic Park, the scientist.
Okay.
Not the old guy, but the guy that came to check out the park on behalf of the old guy.
Yep, know what you're talking about.
And Nicole Kidman, she was like 19 years old when this movie got made. And Billy Zane, who...
I don't know who Billy Zane is.
I think he was in Titanic. I don't know if you remember Titanic.
I've never seen Titanic.
Okay, then you wouldn't remember. He was the bad guy in that. And then he also was on an episode of Community... Because I didn't even realize that it was him because he has lost his hair and he has gained some, he was a hunk back in the, Dead Calm, he is a beautiful, beautiful young man. But in Community, so in my head, he is Titanic. That's the last thing I remember seeing him in. He was still good looking and thin, but in Community, he was big and bald.
So I just looked him up. I still don't recognize him.
But anyway, so that's a fantastic movie. It's Sam O'Neill and Nicole Kidman are on their boat sailing off the coast of Australia. And they come across a boat, a guy in distress on another boat. And they take him in. And it turns out he's not as innocent as they initially seemed. And it's a great, great movie. I'm going to see if I can find it so that we can watch it.
The reason I don't recognize him is because... He had a beard and more hair.
And that's why I didn't recognize him either. But yet I was like, I know that guy from somewhere. I could still sort of see Billy Zane in there, but not the Billy Zane from Dead Calm.
Yeah. Or even from Titanic. This is the picture that I kept seeing, and I was like, I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
You show me this image, I know who that is.
So anyway, so that's our episode for this week. We've gone on long enough about Billy Zane. That's all the pop culture that I know of from this episode.
Yeah, I don't think they really made any references this time.
No, they really didn't. So we will see you next time. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to email us, you can email us at psychyououtpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at psychyououtpod.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll be back in a few days with another episode.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. I think it would be nice. Do you think it would be nice?
Do you think they think it would be nice?
I think they think it would be nice.
Yeah, I think it would.
All right. Well, we will see you next time, everybody. Bye. Woo!
No, 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 no. It's mine. Don't do it.
Woo!